Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, still good morning, Home Improvement KMOX. Lots of things happening here. Beautiful time in this lovely area where we are here. Stay tuned, more things happening here on KMOX. My name is Scott Mosby. We've got two more hours of Home Improvement Show, so bring it on, bring it in. Let's talk about more and see what's happening in St. Louis. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. We are talking about all things around your home. So bring it on, bring it in. Let's get going and see what's happening here. Indeed, we've got a couple of questions here throughout the first part that was interesting here. We have toilet issues. I'm advocating for original equipment on that. I know it's hard to kind of get a plumber to kind of use that sort of stuff, but it is important to, I think, to match the engineering, 30 years old or not, with new stuff. And most of these toilet manufacturers have very specific operational systems, the Balcock, various flushing mechanisms. So anyway, and if you get an old enough thing where you need some shutoffs, some stops in the wall replaced, yeah, it's time to call the plumber. And if you get a plumber in, or electrician, or any kind of tradesman, getting them there is 80% of the trouble. You know, picking whoever's coming and then get them to get to your house, that's a big deal. So once you get them there, you know, write them hard. Long list. Everything related to plumbing that you could put on there will never be less costly because the trip charge is already paid for. So if you're going to have, for example, one doorknob replaced, that doorknob could cost you hundreds of dollars for an item purchased out at 50 just to get the guy there and away. So once you get any kind of a tradesman, any type of a contractor, handyman, whatever, do your homework, walk the house, make a good list of all the things that you believe need to be addressed on there, and that's the way to really get at it, in my opinion anyway. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement KMOX, we're talking about all sorts of things here. So with that, we're going to see what's happening here in the next hour. Stay tuned this afternoon, this evening. We will have the Cards and the Dodgers tonight on KMOX, 1 o'clock right after this show. Your retirement professionals right here on KMOX. So stay tuned, more things happening. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120 puts us together. With the weather as nice as it is, I'm advocating that you, yes you, get out and about in the yard, walk outside, take a look at your deck. Is your deck in good shape? Does it need to be power washed and sealed before we get into the winter? Are there any oil stains from your barbecue grill that drip down onto the wood or concrete? For those of you that have asphalt or concrete driveways, now's the time. You're kind of in that closing window of temperatures, so you want to get your driveway cleaned and sealed, whether asphalt, concrete, paver, whatever it is. And the only thing that sealing does for you is pretty much for concrete or pavers, it keeps the stains from penetrating and they're easier to wash off later. It doesn't prevent stains from happening, but it does more or less kind of protect that. So just be aware of that. In terms of asphalt, I think it's a good thing that for your asphalt, you clean it, you seal it, and all surfaces need to be pretty much above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So that means, to my point, you really need to clean it and get it done now, because the temperature of the material, the asphalt, the soil, has to be above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, some of our lows are getting down into the upper 40s and such, so it's getting to be a little chilly for now. Just be aware of that. Now we get into weather temperatures that are even chillier than that going forward. You can go ahead, clean and seal. The issue then becomes that, you know, the temperature of the surface of that building material isn't warm enough. So yes, it'll still seal, it'll still work, it just won't last as long. So that's why I'm advocating that now is the time for you to clean and seal your stuff. And in today's world, you know, believe it or not, if you don't have somebody lined up to do it now, it may be a little tough to kind of get that going this late in the, you know, season, because, you know, there's such a shortage of virtually everything. So anyway, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120 puts us together here on KMWX. Bring on your topic, anything you want to talk about, and we will do that. So just be aware that we've got more happening here on KMWX throughout the day. Albert Pujols, congratulations, 700 home runs. Boy, howdy, what a deal. Nice to have him back in Cardinalville, and what a great place for he and Yadi to retire from this season. Let's go right to the phone lines here and see what's happening with my friend Eva. Hey, Eva, good morning. Welcome to KMWX. Thanks for your patience. How can I help? Yes, ma'am, you're on.
Yeah, thank you. I have a composite deck, and it's really looking bad. It's got watermarks on it, or I don't know, spots, and it's discoloring. I had it power washed, and it looks worse after the power washing. Is there anything I can do to get a nice-looking deck?
Yes, yes. Generally, it's just it's the same question as our vinyl siding question in hour one, Eva. You did clean off everything on the surface of that siding. And some of these composite decks, especially the Trex brand and older versions of Trex brand, Trex and the composite decks that have wood fibers into it, those wood fibers deep into that material will hold moisture, mold, and mildew down inside. So frankly, just like the old white T-shirt that gets a little bit stained or a towel, a good bleaching may be what's necessary to get in and penetrate that deck. So you cleaned everything off. Frankly, right. Depending on what's underneath it, but I would put, you know, a quart of bleach into a gallon of water, so you'd have one to four parts concentration, and then kind of brush it on the decking and let it sit and let that bleach soak in. It's the same kind of thing as the vinyl siding that we talked about in hour one, you know, of Susie trying to get her vinyl siding mildew spots off. You following these there so far?
Yeah, I do. A quart of bleach and then a gallon of water and let it sit for a while.
Let it sit for, you know, that's 15 minutes. But too, because any kind of bristle, and with that I would advocate kind of a, and I use a push broom. I use a plastic bristle push broom, couple feet wide, whatever. You can use a single sweep broom as well. But I like to give it a little bit of a scrubbing, and, you know, typically I'll wear boots so that I can rinse my boots off. And when you're using bleach like that, make sure that you rinse off the foliage around it and under it. So if you have anything growing in and around that deck, when you're finished bleaching and cleaning it, go around your plants and spray them off with clear water with no bleach in that solution for the rinse.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I think I have a mole. It's under, it gives a big mound. What would you suggest how to get rid of it?
Oh, those critters typically come back. How big around is the little hole?
Oh, about 7-8 inches. It's pretty good size.
Oh, yeah, you have more than a mole. You have a big critter. I would get, if you're comfortable with a trap, which basically traps them alive, or get some sort of a pest control company, that's a big critter. You may have a woodchuck or a possum. There's something good size living underneath your deck, and I wouldn't go to battle with them yourself.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I like your program.
Thank you. And this deck cleaning, get used to this, because you'll do this every year.
Every year? Oh,
every year. Once that water starts, just like that siding that opened up in hour one, you know, once that oxidation happens, once this material opens up and soaks in the moisture, then all it's doing, you're just going back to kill the mildew that's now growing inside of that composite deck. And it's just, you know, some of those formulations do hold moisture, and then that moisture around St. Louis, you know, you give it warm, moist, and wood source or food source, you know, it'll grow pretty happy, and so it'll come back every year.
Yeah, because it's about 13 years old, the deck.
Yeah. And that's why 13 years ago we didn't quite know how to do composite decking at the time.
Okay, so it's got wood in there.
Yeah, just little bits of wood. I think the one that you're talking about is probably a Trex brand from that back then.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, take care, Eva. Bye now. And the old Trex brand site, you know, the decking is not a problem. It's just, you know, it is more porous, so it will hold, and it gets a little unsightly, but, you know, it'll just keep on trucking. Anyway, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I'm going to take a short pause and come back right now.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Good morning, good weather, good St. Louis. Oh, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. How do you like this weather? Oh, baby. Yeah, we'll take the gift. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening with my friend Marilyn. Hey, Marilyn, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help you?
Hi, Scott. I'm looking at leaf guard for my gutters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I was wondering, what is the disadvantages of that?
Leaf guard gutters are, frankly, anything that's a one-piece part of the gutter, I like. The downsides of those are pretty much twofold. Since there is a lid, a hood, or a top to that gutter, if you have a very, very steep roof or a very flat roof, the leaf guard system starts, or even gutter, you know, helmet or any of those hooded systems. If the water comes down so fast on a like a 12-12, a real steep pitched roof, that water skips off just like a rock off of a lake. Or if the lake is, or if the roof is a real flat one, like for a porch inside of an L-shaped house where the roof is very, very flat, sometimes the water doesn't roll to the front curved part of the hood. It may go behind the gutter and leak between the gutter and the gutter board. But for most of the applications, it's really good. So that's number one, too steep, too flat. But most roofs are perfect for this kind of thing. The other one is icicles. Icicles. For example, if you have a two-story home and your house is not, or your attic is not quite as ventilated the way it needs to be or insulated, then the freeze-thaw, think about it, at about 33 degrees, 32 degrees or 31, right where the water temperature starts freezing, that metal is cold enough to freeze, whereas your shingles are still a little bit warmer because they're kind of associated with the warmer attic part of the house. So leaf guard gutters especially can develop icicles that can be rather intimidating, some 8, 10 inches long, and I've had leaf guards on my house for years, and sometimes I just have to go up, you know, with a big long pole and knock them down, you know, because they're a potential threat, you know, if they get too big. So that and the inside valleys where too much water hits them. But the issue is, man, I haven't been on my roof for a really long time, you know, because of that, you know.
Well, that's what I'm looking at, too. Gutter helmets, mm-hmm. Is that attached to the roof?
Yes. Yes, it slides up underneath the shingles, and the real deal here is whether your gutters are in good shape or not, Marilyn. If you have good gutters, then you can add this gutter helmet, and they tuck up under the shingles, and the other guys say no, that's not good for the roof and such. They're okay, they work fine. But if you have old gutter and the gutters need to be replaced, you know, then basically, you know, gutter helmet will come in. They'll replace the gutters and the hood. Well, you've already now just paid for the leaf guard gutter. And you know, leaf guard gutters are pricey. You know, they're like buying half a car, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, they yeah. last forever. I mean, it's a four-sided, you know, metal beam. They don't sag. They just kind of stay straight.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your information.
Yeah, good questions, Marilyn. That's pretty much it. Every good system has a bad system, so there's no such thing as a, you know, maintenance-free home.
Well, that's what I wanted to know, you know, the bad part of it, and yeah. that's why I figured you could help me.
Yep. I still love the leaf guards, but everything has its trade-off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Marilyn. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. And frankly, that's kind of how I'm on KMOX. Our company, Mosby Building Arts, my day job, that, I mean, we put on a gazillion gutters. We build a lot of things. We buy a lot of lumber. We use a lot of plumbers. We buy a lot of fittings and faucets and bathtubs. We remodel just a boatload of kitchens and bathrooms. And it's fun because, you know, I mean, we kind of move in and, you know, it's kind of a shared territorial dance with our homeowners. I mean, we just brought an industrial process inside their house while they're living there. So, you know, have to be pretty good roommates. So you work out the roommate thing, start the work and get going. And then, you know, you get to know each other, and lo and behold, they kind of look forward to us coming every morning. It's like, you know, I kind of like my morning coffee with Tom. He's a nice guy, and, you know, and we talk about the project, what's going to happen today, and off and on. Anyway, the point being that, you know, these projects are fun, but Mosby Building Arts, and then, to me, we know who's doing a good job and what manufacturers, what bodies of faucets, and as well as appliances, which ones are cutting the mustard and which ones just aren't. And a lot of things have changed over the last 3 years. We're also facing baby boomers that, you know, these the homes are getting older. We as homeowners are getting older, and the contracting companies that are out there are getting older. So, you know, frankly, the whole world is, you know, this whole demographic thing of I can't find somebody to come fix the front door in my house. I can't find somebody to bring me a hot dog at the, you know, same old, you know, the world just doesn't have enough people to help us. Let's see what's happening here with my friend Barb. Hey, Barb's good Morgan, how can I help you this fine day?
Hi, Scott. My question is about an aggregate driveway. Yeah. Two questions. One is, what's the best solution for getting a car oil leak off of the aggregate? And We built our house 6 years ago, and we have not done any maintenance on that. Not sure what we should be doing for maintenance on the aggregate.
Yeah. Describe the rocks. What do they look like? Are they round, smooth, and dark colors?
It's a variety. It's kind of a beigey background with a few little orangey, tan, some white rock, some kind of a reddish color. It's kind of a mix.
Oh, but they're all smooth surfaced? The rocks?
The rocks are smooth.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go barefoot, it's not the most comfortable on it. But
yeah, that's the one. Okay, in 6 years, any concrete is basically raw limestone, white, and stainable. So by not cleaning and sealing that driveway for 6 years, that oil stain, you know, and it happens. I mean, they're cars. They drip oil. That stuff happens. If it's not that, it'll be the lawnmower, the lawn service. So clean, power washing that driveway, and then putting a good penetrating sealer on there holds that oil stain up to the top, holds that blueberry bird dropping stain up to the top, the oil, the oak leaf that kind of tannined, you know, brown stain, all that. 6 years with no stain, you're going to, at best, if you use hot water and a wizard and stain cleaner and all the rest, you're going to remove maybe 70% of that stain, but it'll never go away because it's raw, open, poor white concrete in between all those rocks. So that's why you seal it. And there are two sealers for, go ahead.
I was going to say, when we built the house, I thought I remembered someone telling us you don't ever power wash that because it's too powerful. It'll blow the rocks out of it or something. Maybe I was dreaming.
No, that's correct. And what if you do a power washer? There, remember the old round brush, hardwood floor spinning brush, paste wax polishers. There are machines that look like that that have a spinning wand in it that are pressure washer. They're driven by a pressure washer, but they all the nozzles are angled at an angle, so you're not going to blow the concrete apart. You or I with a 3,500 PSI power washer can blow the rocks right out of that driveway. So okay. what you were told was correct, but there are professionals that can power wash that driveway with the right equipment. And if you look it up, and you know, you can find it on the internet what these things look like. You can rent them, actually. But the point is you don't want to a neophyte out there with a bunch of pressure and power literally blowing your rocks right out of your driveway. But they get cleaned, and then you do put a proper sealer on it. If you know what you're doing and you're kind of handy, you can figure this out as you go on. But for exposed aggregate driveways, there are kind of two kinds of sealers, Barb. One is what's called a wet look. And it makes your rocks shiny, and I mean beautiful. The problem is it accentuates everything. So it's like the makeup mirror when you're putting the cosmetics on. You see the good, bad, and the ugly. Well, if you put this shiny sealer on, it's going to make the good look even better, and it's going to make the bad, maybe some of those oil stains or chips or whatever, be a little more noticeable. So that's the wet look. It's an acrylic, and it's very similar in material as you remember the old clear kitchen floor clear, never yellows, that acrylic.
Oh, right.
That's what this stuff is in industrial form. So it'll make everything shiny and pretty. It lasts about 2 years, and then you have to kind of go through and like wax, you have to strip the wax and redo it. Then there's the non-shiny part, which is just good old concrete sealer, which might be a water-based, it might be a silicone-based. It doesn't make anything shine, but it holds those stains, both hold the stains up top to the top.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So there's really nothing I can use just on the oil right now before I go ahead and get this process going of power washing and sealing it.
Well, there is. It's just like an oil stain in fabric or carpet. It's detergent based. It's hot water. It's persistence and it's scrubbing. Frankly, you may be able to use kind of a poultice, for example, sometimes when I don't have anything really high performance, you know, I'll just use a granular detergent from the laundry. You know, I'll go out and I'll make the concrete wet, and I put the stuff on and I pat it around and I lay a piece of plastic over it. That dry powder tends to draw the moisture back up out of the concrete. That's a poultice, that just like pulling the infection out of a wound on a person, that poultice does. But, you know, that just good scrub and soap and water, let the detergent sit there for a while, and hit it hard with a hose, maybe hot water, bristle brooms. You're just trying to remove a stain from a fabric, only this fabric happens to be four inches thick in concrete.
Okay, great. Okay, and I'm assuming your company does, if I would want you to do the power washing and the sealing, you do that?
We do, but smaller jobs, we're running out of people like everybody else, but give us a call. If we aren't doing it, we will refer you to somebody that we trust that can.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much, Scott.
Okay, Barb. Good luck. Bye now. Home improvement. Sometimes, there we go. Mantra for this show is that an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure. And because, you know, we're not going to beat Mother Nature. We're just borrowing our houses from her for a while. You know, hopefully we get to live in them long enough before, you know, tornado, rainstorm, hurricane, whatever it is, blows it away and drives it back into dust. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. My name's Scott Mosby. I'm really happy to be here with you. And our company was founded 75 years ago by my dad, Sam Mosby. This show is kind of a really neat way to honor him, because for, you know, the first 35 years of that life, you know, Dad was learning things and teaching me these things. So as I answer the questions to you, with you, and for you, my dad's voice is way down deep in those answers. Sometimes I think back, where in the world did I learn that? I know it. Oh, yeah, that was Dad, you know, decades ago. He taught me that. And sometimes when the technology changes, you know, for example, the stain in my concrete, there are all kinds of high-tech things, nothing more effective than good old hot soap and water trying to remove oil from a stain in a, this case happens to be concrete, a stain in the driveway, a stain in the carpet, a stain in my shirt, a stain in my towel that I clean the, you know, the wheels on my car with, all those things. You know, no matter where you go, there you are. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. And we'll be right back for more after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center, the place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Oh, yes, indeed. Is it the time to be outside today? Oh, you betcha. Man, it is a beautiful time, beautiful weather. This is when St. Louis is in all our glory. A little bit of baseball, a little bit of sports, a little soccer coming up here. All sorts of things happening here in the Lou this afternoon. Cards versus the Dodgers right here on KMOX. And lots to talk about. 1 o'clock after this show, another hour after this, is your retirement professionals. Let's go to my friends online. Patrice, let's see what's happening on the phone line. Hey, Patrice, Scott Mosby, how can I help you?
Hi, we had a leak under our kitchen sink, which we didn't know about for a while. And we replaced the faucet and a couple other places where it was leaking. But the we have hardwood floors, and the water leaked under there. And fortunately, just the first row of hardwood floors has buckled up. Okay. So what should we do about that?
Is it pre-finished or site-finished? Did they sand the floor and finish it, or did this come in a box and they just laid it down and it looked like that?
I think it was came in a box and they just laid it down.
Then it is possible to replace those boards. It's difficult, but it's possible to saw those out and kind of like surgically, you know, cut the tongue and the groove off, the tongue part, and lift those boards up. They get surface nailed, but there is a way to repair that. Do you have any other plans around finishing things in your kitchen, which gets to any reason to change the whole floor in the near future?
No, we don't want to change the whole floor. And a little bit of where the dishwasher in the front, that kind of got buckled too.
Yeah, yeah. The good news is that it's possible and probable. What kind of countertops do you have on the cabinets? Are they a solid material, just laminate?
They're just regular countertops.
Yeah. Well, then that's even better news. Your dishwasher can be removed, so it opens up that hole and exposes that floor. And the cabinet next to it, if this is next to that kitchen sink, you can basically pull the kitchen sink out, leave the countertop where it is, and pull that cabinet out. And that allows the floor technicians to get in and remove, you know, 8-10 boards and put in new ones and kind of do the best work they can without getting too far out into the floor. It's pricey, it's labor intensive, it's kind of a pain in the neck for the technicians to do this repair. Do you know who put the hardwood floor in the first time?
I think the builder.
Okay.
Will mold under there moisture got under there?
No, I mean, it can, yes. Do you have a basement to go downstairs and look up at the underside of that floor?
We do, and we didn't see any leaks or anything like that in the basement.
Yeah, then you have no real mold issue. What happens is you've got so much wood in the subfloor, you know, the chip or the OSB, plywood, you know, and then your floor itself. Wood has a phenomenal ability to inhale water and exhale water without damage, mold, and mildew, which is, it's kind of a magical material. Whereas if you had metal studs or vinyl floor, you know, that water just sits there in liquid form. It has no place to go. So wood is a very friendly material to have a water problem with, as long as you eventually dry it out. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, but I would start looking for a floor company or somebody that can do repairs on that. You have to find out the brand of that floor. And the problem is, 6 years ago, you know, they may not make that color of floor anymore. And even if they do, it's still going to be like new paint and old paint. You'll still have some variation. But next to the kitchen sink, close to cabinets, it's pretty minor in people noticing. If it's out in the middle of your kitchen floor, man, God, and everybody can see it. But, you know, yeah, if it's just there.
We are lucky that I think the builder left some of the excess wood that we have enough to replace it with.
Ooh, I'd take that upstairs and lay it out in your kitchen floor and kind of make a judgment for yourself as to how much of that stuff you have. And if not, hold, you know, look at the box on the manufacturer and the finish and the style of that floor. And that at least tells you what to get. And then you're looking for somebody, a flooring tech, that can come in. And it would, you know, it's a small job, very high skill. And, you know, it's going to be tough to get somebody to do this repair.
Any idea what it would run?
Cost-wise, probably not a whole lot. I mean, you'd be $1,000 because the time to take the dishwasher out and the cabinet out and open and close, you'd be, you know, more than $1,000, but it's not the cost of a new floor. So it's a small rifled surgery in a specific area and not removing the whole floor. The problem is you're looking for a very highly skilled floor guy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your advice.
Yeah. Good luck. And I think it'll turn out, it'd just be a little hard, you know, this time of this whole economy, just tough to get her done under all these conditions.
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, thank you so much.
All right, Patrice, take care. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Boy, now's the time to be outside on the patio, the deck, even the driveway, front porch, anywhere. Open the windows, vet it out, and gosh, get it done. Remember, the more we open our windows, the more particulate dust and pollen and all the things flying around outside. So the more we open our windows, the more important it is for us to change our furnace filters, make sure that we're replenishing that new fresh furnace filter, because the more we open our windows, the more dust comes in, the more fresh air comes in, and the more all the polluted air from, you know, building material off-gassing. So I'm a big proponent. I love sleeping with the windows open, opening up the house. Please make sure you're changing your air filters. I'm going to take a short pause and come back for more. Scott Mosby, KMOX, I'll be back.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair.
Now, Scott Mosby on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Oh, yeah, it's the middle of the day, middle of the country, middle of the heat dial. Oh, we've got it going on here in St. Louis. What some nice weather we have now. Let's go to my friend Joan. Hey, Joan, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. A couple of weeks ago, I turned the program on late, and I heard you talking to a gentleman about smart meters.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing I would have been interested in. But I waited for you to come back so I could ask you if you remember what you were talking about. But anyway, I have had the local power company out here a couple of times wanting to put a smart meter on my house.
Yes.
And I said, no, I don't want it. Why? I said, where my meter is outside is on my bedroom wall, and my head would be in that corner where the meter would be. And I said, I'm afraid of it because of the waves that the, you know, the, well, if
sure.
you're too close to an electrical something or other, you can have problems, you know, maybe
sure.
brain cancer or something like that. And I'm just afraid to have it done. They want to charge me $40 a month if I don't have it put on.
Right.
And plus my bill will go up, he said.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm trying to deal with that. And then last Sunday morning, of all things, Sunday morning, somebody's knocking on my door, and I thought it was, you know, this company again. It turned out it was the gas company. They wanted to put a smart meter on that same wall.
Yeah.
So what is your theory about these smart meters? Are they dangerous? Are they hazardous to your health?
Here's the bottom line. This is the shape of the world coming at us whether we want it or not. So we're either going to be riding in the car as it rolls or under the tires when it rolls over us. And that's an exaggeration, but that's kind of it. Here's what's going on. A smart meter, as you know, transmits. What it does is it eliminates all those meter reader guys that they don't have anymore. We don't have the workers just to fill our grocery bags, much less walk around a neighborhood and read meters. So these smart meters have all kinds of features in them. The biggest one, and why they're going to charge you more money, is because that means they have to have some bloke come out and walk up and read your meter. The issue, if you have a headboard and you're concerned about the transmission of those radio waves, first off, your house is loaded with them anyway. I mean, even every Bluetooth device you have and your smartphone or, you know, even radio waves here on Camo X, all that stuff is the same transmission that's bouncing around our houses. If you're concerned about that, and I think it's a valid concern, pull your headboard away from the wall, scotch tape some foil, the shiny side facing the meter on the back side there, and that's really all it takes to reflect or deflect most of those waves from that specific device. It'll project it out. So there are little things you can do like that to make yourself feel better. Myself personally, just on internet wiring, though I have a lot of Wi-Fi stuff in my house, I still hardwire most of that stuff just because I can. It's better performance, and I can, you know, in my small way, limit the amount of radio waves in my house as well. So I get what you're doing, but specifically protect that one location. If you can just put this on the backside of your headboard. And I would not oppose this, because what they're trying to figure out is we're in the connected world, and one of our biggest threats is bad guys, sovereign nations trying to take down our electric grid. They want to know who's using what when, and if everything goes kaflooey, who needs what, and how to limit that. So there's a lot in these meters, but frankly, I was one of the first ones to get these smart meters on everything, just because it just limits the number of people. All my bills are always going to be ruthlessly accurate. I'm not going to get overbilled or underbilled because they can read that meter all the time, every time. You know, so
it used to be that they, years ago, when if you weren't home, most of the meters. I lived in an older house that had the meters inside the house, and if you weren't home, the meter reader left you a postcard. And you read the meter yourself and mailed the postcard in. I would say, go back to give me that option.
Yeah. Those days are gone, because that's when we had too many people for too few jobs. Now we have too many jobs for too few people. So they're just trying to figure
it
out.
What I'm thinking is, because if they're eliminating the meter readers, well, there goes those jobs. And I don't want to, you know, I like to keep them guys working.
Well,
I don't want to see anybody put out of work. But
oh, we don't. Rate, nobody's out of. Yeah, believe me.
The concern was really the problem that I had about it, you know. And I do not have a headboard on my bed. I have like a, it's an open metal deal.
So yeah. Well, you can do something to. Oh my goodness, I'm over. Oh my gosh, I'm over. Joan, my apologies. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Stay tuned for hour 3 coming up on Camo X.